Beginning the current daf mishnah, the Shabbos daf Kuf Chav Gimel. We begin on the second line from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which there was machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabba regarding the explanation of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah spoke about many different items, hammers, hatchets, shovels, that are items that we said that you're allowed to use them for permitted purposes that you would use it for the object. For example, a hammer could be used to break open nuts, which is a permitted activity on Shabbos. You could use the hammer to do that. Now, there was a machlokes regarding what type of hammer we're talking about. If you just said we're talking about a hammer that's designated for nuts, so therefore such a hammer you could use to break open nuts on Shabbos. However, Rabbi said something even greater. He said that you can even use a blacksmith's hammer, that although it's a klisha melachta le'issa, that generally it should be considered muktzah, because it's generally used for something that's prohibited to do on Shabbos, which is the activities of a blacksmith. However, a klisha melachta le'issa that's designated for a prohibited activity is maybe used on Shabbos litzarech gufay for the purpose of the hammer itself. That is, I want to use it for a permitted activity, although it's generally used for prohibited. On Shabbos, I want to use the break open nuts, which is a permitted activity that I'm allowed to do on Shabbos. So now the Abaya, it was where our current daf begins. He asks on this opinion of Rabba. Eisei Abaya l'Rabba. You just said, explaining our Mishnah, that said you're allowed to take a hammer to break open nuts, that you, although it's a klisha melach l'issa, but you could use the hammer for a permitted activity, l'tzarech gufay, to use the hammer for a permitted activity. However, we learned, maducha, regarding a mortar, that you grind inside of it garlic. So he said, im yesh ba shum metaltonois, if there's garlic inside of the mortar, then you can move it because of the garlic that's inside of it, which is a permitted item. So because it's secondary to the garlic, you're allowed to even move the mortar. Vim lav e metaltonois, but if there's no garlic inside the mortar, then you can't move it. However, that's difficult. In other words, we said you can't move it even if you want to sit on it, because since the ikar malacha of a mortar is for grinding, which is a malachas isr, something prohibited to do on Shabbos, because of the malacha of teichin of grinding. So therefore, we see, not like you, Rabbi, we see that even if it's something that it's a malacha, if it's something that's klitsch malach lisa, generally it's used for a prohibited activity, even if you want to use letzerech guf for something permitted, like sitting on it, or whatever it is, that's prohibited to move it. Yet you, according to you, you should be able to move it. On that, the Gemara says, Amalei, Rabbi said to Abaya, Hamani Reb Nechemiah, don't ask him that price. So that price is going according to a Yochid opinion of Reb Nechemiah. The Amalei that he says, Ain kli nitel el tzerech tashmishim. He's very stringent in the halachas of muktzeh. He holds you can't move any vessel, even something that's permitted, like a spoon, only for something that is designated specifically for that. And here, since even if you're allowed to move an item, he says it has to be just for what it's meant for, not for something else. So of course he's going to say it's us to use a mortar even for something that's permitted, because that's not what it's meant for. But according to all the other shittas, the Chacham, everyone else that argues on Yom Chemir, they would hold that a Makhli Shom Lach L'Issa would be allowed to be moved, let's say, Achgufa. So the Gemara continues to ask on the opinion of Rabbi Esvei, we learned in the Mishnah in Beya, says, some are gurus, the next line, and some are not, but either way, it's the beginning of that mission. It says, Bishame oimim. Bishame say, Ein noitlina se'eli lekatsev alav basar. Bishame say, you're not allowed to move the pestle that's used to chop meat. Ubisil matir and Bisil say that's permitted. However, this is where the main idea is anyway. Bishavin, and both Bishame and Bisil agree that although they argue regarding if you're allowed to move the pestle to chop meat on it on Yom Tov, however, they both agree shim kotzav labas, that if you already did chop meat on that pestle, that is, you already used it for its tzarech for Simchas Yom Tov, because you're allowed to shecht on Yom Tov, shasal tautli, but then you're not allowed to move the pestle anymore. In other words, this that Bisil permitted you to move the pestle to be able to chop meat on it, that's only because of Simchas Yom Tov. However, regarding the Eli, this pestle, that it's a malach delis, generally it's used to bang on the mortar to grind things inside of it, and it's used for things that are prohibited, like for wood or for the tanning of hides, and therefore it's ushered to do to use a pestle on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So therefore, you see that this klisha malach delis, or this pestle, is generally used for prohibited activities. We see that even though there's machlokes b'sham b'sil, but once it was ready to use, you're not allowed to move it anymore, even if you want to use it for something permitted, l'tzarech gufay. So therefore you see, not like Rabba. And that the Gemara says that, Savru l'shnui le'krem nechemi. So initially Rabba wanted to answer, the way he answered with the other b'raisa, that it's going like Krem Nechemi. And of course you can't, a pestle, if you can't move it, you can't. The only thing it's designated for is something prohibited, so for sure you can't move it, even l'tzarech gufay, because that's like the opinion of Krem Nechemi. However, once he heard of this statement in the name of Rab, that everybody agrees, even the Rabbanon, that they argue on Reb Nechemiah, they agree regarding spindles and Zayari and and clothes presses and mizari and mallets, which these are all different types of vessels used by the dyers, by people that dye clothing. The kiv and the kapit alai, that since they're very particular about it, the professional, that it shouldn't get dirty and it shouldn't get bent out of shape, that these three items that is mentioned, miyachid luhumakum, that he designates a specific place where it should be, and therefore, like actively, he goes ahead and he separates, he makes it muktzah, because he doesn't want anyone touching it, it's going to get ruined. And therefore, that's total muktzah. So hachinam here also regarding the pestle and the mortar, miyachid luhumakum, I don't have to say it, Reb Nechemya, everyone would agree that it's muktzah. What do you mean it's muktzah? It's a regular klisha malach le'iser. It's usually used for something prohibited, but you say that you can use it for letzerech guf, for permitted activity on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So why is the mortar and pestle aser? He says, no, because everyone would agree over here, because these are items that no one wants, that the one that usually works with these items, for it to get ruined. You put a special place where it should be, that no one should touch it. Oh, such an item is muktzah gomer, that even that, you can't be used it, even letzerech gufay, and that's different than a regular classic klisha malach le'iser, because here, it's something that they're very particular with, and I don't have to say, Reb Nechemya, everyone would agree that here, although I say that everyone agrees, the chacham, that a klisha malach le'iser could be letzerech gufay, here where they're very particular about it, even letzerech gufay is going to be aser, but it's the exception, not the norm. So Gemara says, Itmar, regarding, we had on the previous daf two explanations regarding our Mishnah, that we said a hammer could be used to bang open and break open nuts on Shabbos. That is, either we said it's talking about a hammer designated for the nuts, and that's why it's mutter, because it's meant for it. And the second shot was of Rabbi, that he says, no, even though a blacksmith's hammer, which is a klisha malach le'iser, could be used letzerech gufay for a permitted activity on Shabbos. Now the Gemara brings two more pshatim. Third pshat is, Reb Chiya bar Abba Amar B'Yechanan, Kurnishal Zahav Mishaninu, that is talking about a hammer of the goldsmiths. And that is that, although they're particular about it a little bit, because it has to be smooth to be able to bang out the plates of gold, even so, because you could quickly fix it by banging on the anvil, so therefore they don't totally separate it. And definitely from other smiths, for example, a blacksmith, that he would agree to the opinion of Rabbah that a klisha malach le'iser would be mutter. And here we're saying even more, that even from the goldsmiths, that they could go ahead and you can use those hammers to bring open the nuts. Shimon bar Abba Amar, he says, Kornishal b'samishin, and we're talking about the hammers of those who work with spices, that they use it to grind the spices. So the Gemara concludes and says that mandam ad besam, according to the one that says that you could even take the hammer that's used for spices, koshkin dezahavim, he would definitely agree with the third pshat, that even the hammer from a goldsmith, that it could be used to break open the nuts. However, mandam eshal zahavim, but regarding the one that says that it was a type of hammer of someone that works with gold, avad besamim kabet alai, but regarding using the hammer that's used for spices, the other person would be particular that it shouldn't get ruined if you're using it to break open nuts, and get disgusted, and it's spices are things that are very delicate and very sensitive, it'll pick up if it's used with something else, there that mandam would hold that it would be us. So therefore we have four pshatim in what the Mishnah meant when it said you could use a hammer to break open nuts. Either it meant a hammer designated for nuts, so of course you could use such a hammer, or it's talking about a hammer that, no, it was a klisha malach le'iser, it's generally used not for nuts, it's used for something prohibited, but still you can use it letzerech gufay. Always said that it's a hammer that's used for by gold, that even though that's even a level that even somewhat more particular, but since you can go ahead and fix it later, so they're not particular that much, and therefore you could still use it for nuts. And then the fourth shot was, even the hammer that's used for spices, which is very sensitive, still you can use it to break open nuts, and those are the four pshatim, what type of hammer we're talking about, that it won't be considered muksa, and you'll be able to use it, at least letzerech gufay, for a permitted Shabbos activity. So now we continue explaining the Mishnah. It says, Ve'esakush, Ve'esakarkar, regarding the spindle and the weaver's reed, we said you can use it for a permitted activity of using it to stick into a fruit to be able to eat it like that, like strawberries, a soft type of fruit. So the Gemara brings a brisa to explain this halacha. Tarabon, paga, regarding a fig that didn't mature yet, it's not fully ripe. Shatam the metevin, that was hidden in straw, that is, they would keep it in straw, that it should ripen that way. And however, the straw itself is muktzah, because it's generally set aside for making cement out of it, which is a muktzah process. And therefore, the straw itself is muktzah, but now you're putting in this unripe date, which is not muktzah. Similarly, v'charora shatam nebegachol, regarding putting a cake that someone concealed and put it into coals for it to bake. So now, regarding these two cases, regarding the unripe date and the cake, im megul miktzasa, if some of it is uncovered, that is, you could hold on to the place that's uncovered and not have to touch the muksa items that it's stuck into, where you're not even going to have tiltum and atzad, which is an indirect way of carrying a muksa item, because you don't have to touch the straw. All you have to do is pick up the part of the non-muksa item that's uncovered, and then the straw will fall away by itself. So then mutla tatla, then you could go ahead and pick up this unripe date from the straw that you hid it in. Vimlav asla tatla. But if not, if it's totally under the straw, then it would be prohibited to carry it, because you're going to have to touch, at least indirectly, the muksa item of the straw that's on top of it. However, Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoyimer, he says, no, even if it's fully covered, you could stick it to get the unripe date that's under it with this spindle with the weaver's reed. And then the straw or the coals will fall away by themselves, and that will be permitted even if it's fully covered, because you're not touching it directly. To which the Gemara says, that is the halacha, that even if it's fully covered, you can use these things to push away and get it out that way. So the Gemara asks, "Lememr the Sabr Rav Nachman, is this the Seder of Nachman who's saying the halachas like Rabbi Elazar ben Tadoi? Did he hold tiltum and atzad loishmi tiltum? That indirect touching and carrying of a muktza items is not considered moving it, and that is because here he says the halacha that you could move even if it's fully covered with straw because it's indirectly moving it. But how could we say that? Vamr Rav Nachman, hi pugler. Rav Nachman said regarding this radish that was already torn out from the ground." And then it was put in back into the ground as a way of preserving it, and part of it is sticking out a little bit. So he said it depends on how it was inserted into the ground to know if you could take it out on Shabbos. And that is milmal lamata shari. If it was right side up, that was from top to bottom. That is, if the top part of the radish is on the top and the narrower part is on the bottom, that way when you take it out from the ground that it was stuck into, you're going to be taking out the top part first and then the bottom, because that's obviously how it goes. And therefore the wider part of the radish on the top, that's permitted, because then you're not going to be moving the earth at all, because the top is uncovered. So you could pull out the top and the narrower part is in there, so you're not moving anything. But mimata lamala also, but if it's upside down, if you're taking it out from bottom to the top, and that is the bottom of the radish is on the top, and you're going from the narrow part, you're going to be moving the earth, because the pit of where you stuck in this radish is narrow on the top and it's wider on the bottom, the radish. So therefore you're going to have to be pulling it out. It's going to rip out the earth that's surrounding it. And even though the movement of that earth is indirectly, because you're not holding on to the earth with your hands, but since you're moving it indirectly, so we see that that's aser. So if Rav Nachman says that that's aser, how can he say Allah is like Rav Elazar ben Tadoi to move it with the stick, which is tiltum and atzad? Yet here he says tiltum and atzad is aser. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman reversed his opinion over there, that he said that pulling out the radish upside down would be asr. And rather, it's as he concludes over here, that tiltum and atzad is mutter, because he paskins halacha like Rav Elazar ben Tadoi, that you're allowed to take this weaver's reed and to move away the coals and the straw, and although it's tiltum and atzad, indirectly moving it, that is permitted, and therefore it's not a contradiction to his opinion. Now the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah. That's in machet shel yad litl bavachulu, that regarding taking a hand needle, you're allowed to use it to take out a splinter, again, for something permitted on Shabbos. You're allowed to use even these different utensils like hammers and hatchet, and in this case was a hand needle. So the Gemara discusses something that comes into this halacha. Sholech le'rava b'rei d'rabba l'rav Yosef. Yilamdeinu rabbeinu. Our master should teach us. Machet shel nitl charora or uksa mahu. Regarding a needle, that either the eye or the point was taken away, what is going to be the halacha? In other words, do we say that it's mutter to move it? Or do we say that you can't move it because it's a bottle from the Torah's kli? It doesn't have the halacha of a kli anymore because it lost its status of a needle, because it doesn't have its eye or its point, which generally that's classic needle that it needs that. So is it still a kli that you can move it? Or is it not a kli anymore and therefore it would be muktzah? So Amalei says, we learned this. This is our Mishnah. We learned Machet Shol Yad Litl Ba'asakutz. We said that you're allowed to take a needle to use it to take out a splinter. Now, V'chimaech B'slei L'koitz Bein Nekuva L'Bein She'en Nekuva. What does it make a difference to a splinter if it has an eye or if it doesn't have an eye? It's going to be mutter to move it because, again, you're allowed to take it to take out the splinter. Now, regarding a splinter, it won't make a difference if it has an eye or not. And therefore, you see that still you're allowed to take it to move out the splinter. So therefore, if it's going to not have the eye, it's not going to be muktzah. We still view it as a vessel regarding the halachas of muktzah. To which the Gemara asks, Esve, have a Mishnah in Kalim that says, Mechet shenitel charara uktzat tahira. Regarding a needle that's missing the eye or the point, that it's tahar, which tahar means that we don't view it as a kli anymore. Because what it means to say is that it was a kli, it was a regular needle, that's royal kabel tumma, and it became tumma. Now, once the eye or the point is missing, so we say it's tahar, that means it's not a kli anymore. Yet here we're saying that it's still a kli, and that's why it's not considered muktzah, because a kli could be moved. A non-kli, it has no purpose, and it is muktzah. So I'm Abaya, what do you mean? Tumma ashabis karamas? Are you asking a contradiction from the halachas of tumma, that we see that it's not a kli, to the halachas of Shabbos, that we see it is a kli? They have different parameters, and that is tumma, kli maisa be'in. The pasuk calls it that it has to be a kli maisa, a vessel that was fashioned, that was made. In other words, it has to be as it was originally made. That status has to stay status quo. And therefore, once it loses an eye or a point, so yes, then it's not the kli maisa, it's not the vessel that was originally fashioned. So then it becomes tar. But le'inyan Shabbos, midid chazabin, regarding the halachic status of Shabbos, if it's a vessel or not, that depends if it's fit to use. V'ha, namichaz le'mishkul b'koitz. And here, this is still fit to be used to take out a splinter. And therefore, we will consider it as a vessel regarding the halachas of Shabbos. But that has nothing to do with the halachas of Tumah, which there it's dependent on different criteria, higher standards, of being exactly how it was when it was originally made. So that is how he answered the question. However, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava said to Abaya, no, Manda Kamoyz to Shabbat Kamoyz. The one that asked the question, he asked a very good question. Your answer is not enough. Because Midalin Tumah love Manahu, Lin Shabbos Nami love Manahu. It's not true. If we find by Tumah, it's not because it's not a clean Maisa. We don't view it as a vessel anymore. So therefore, here regarding the halachas of Shabbos also, it's also not going to be a vessel, and therefore it should be muktzah because it should be the equivalent of tumah and Shabbos. But then the Gemara asks on what Rabbah was saying, meisve, we learned that not like what he's saying. We learned machad regarding a needle, bein nekuva, bein she'en nekuva, mutl tala b'Shabbos. Whether there is an eye or there is not an eye, it won't make a difference regarding the halachas of Shabbos, and you can move it. V'lo amr nekuva, and we didn't say that regarding the characteristic of having an eye, that is, should have a status of a vessel more than one that doesn't have an eye, was elenu tumah bulvad. That was only said regarding the halachas of tumah. Now the Gemara thinks that what it means is that when it loses its eye, it's saying that only regarding the halachas of tumah do we say that it loses status of a kli of a vessel. But regarding moving on Shabbos, that it's mutter. So there you see, not like what Rava is trying to say, but that there is a differentiation over here regarding Shabbos retaining its status of a vessel, but regarding that when it loses its eye, tumah it will lose it. So therefore, you see, not like what Rava was saying, that they're the same. And that the Gemara says that Tirgama Abaya, Libra the Rava, Abaya himself, who was on the other side, he came to the defense of Rava and said that, no, that's not a proof against what Rava was saying, because Bugumi Askina, that's talking about a raw needle. And that is, we're talking about a raw needle that was ready to have an eye made in it. It just didn't get it yet. And when the eye is made, then it's considered that it was completed the vessel. However, if it doesn't have the eye yet, so then we don't view it as a fashioned and complete vessel. And therefore, regarding the halachas of tumah, we don't see it as kli, because regarding tumah, we only see it when it's finished to what you had designed it to be. So therefore, since it's intended to have an eye like a regular needle, and it just doesn't have it yet, so we don't view it as a kli yet. But regarding moving it on Shabbos, it is permitted because it's still fit to be used to take a splinter out of it, as the Gemara explains. Regarding this one, that we're going to make it into a full-fledged needle, we just didn't get a chance yet, we didn't make the hole in it yet. Zimna de mimlech alai, sometimes you'll change your mind regarding it, and that you won't make the hole at the end. Umashri lumuna, that itself will give it the status of a kli as it is, because it's fit to be used for a different purpose, to taking out splinters. Aval hecha de nitl charara ukta, but where it loses its eye that it had, or the point that it had, then Adam Zarkele Ben Grutois, then someone throws it into to where the broken heaps of metal is. And that is, therefore it loses its status of a vessel, even for Shabbos. So therefore, Abaye said it's not a difficulty according to Rabbah. This that we differentiated between Shabbos and the halachas of Tumah, is that was talking about that it didn't have it yet. So, but now, it's once you made it up to this level where you didn't make the hole yet, it's still fit for a splinter, so you can move it on Shabbos. Tumah is only because you didn't get to where you wanted it to be yet. So therefore, it's not Mekabel Tumah yet. However, if you changed your mind, then it would be Mekabel Tumah even now without the eye. So that's where the difference is. But regarding if it had the eye already, it was a full-fledged needle, and it lost the eye or the point, then people are going to throw it into the garbage, and therefore it's not only is it not going to be a kli regarding Tumah, it's not going to be a kli even regarding Shabbos, because regarding Shabbos that we say it is even without the eyes when you didn't make it yet. But if it had and it lost, then you throw it into the garbage. And therefore, Rava's question stands that Shabbos and Tumah should have the same halacha regarding if it loses its eye or its point. Now the Gemara segues into a new halacha, which will come into the discussion of what we're talking about regarding needles and our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Asubi Yanuka, regarding straightening out the bones of a child. That is, when the child's born, sometimes his bones get misplaced, and you have to put it back into into their joints where they're supposed to be. So Rav Nachman says it's aser. It's aser to do that on Shabbos because it's similar to mesakin, as if you're fixing the person, just like it's aser to fix a kli, not fix the person. Rav Sheshes Sharon, Rav Sheshes says no, it's permitted to go ahead and fix the bones of the child on Shabbos. So Amar Rav Nachman, Menah Minilah. Rav Nachman says, from where do I get this, that it's prohibited to do this on Shabbos to the child? It's not because you learned in the Mishnah. In Eisen, we're not allowed to do it, and continue on to Amid Beis, Afik Tevizen B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to vomit on Shabbos. And that is, they used to drink a certain potion, a certain drink, which would make them vomit. But it wasn't for healing purposes. Rather, it was just to empty out his stomach area that he could have room to eat more and drink today because he wants to, it's a big smorgasbord and he has food inside. He wants to get rid of it so he could eat more. So they would take this potion, as it says in Perek Chavis. Now, although it's not going to be usher because of the Isser of Refuah, which is a rabbinic decree, because you might come to grind the herbs. Now here that doesn't apply because it's not a Refuah that you're doing. So therefore, that won't be usher because of that. But yet it's usher because of Misak and Gavra. It's fixing the person. It's making him optimum to the sense of that he could fit in more food. And we see that you cannot do that on Shabbos. So therefore he says, that's the same thing of the halacha that I'm telling you, of fixing the bones of the child. That we see fixing a person is something prohibited to do. So therefore you're not allowed to fix his bones either on Shabbos. Rav Shesh would respond, that's not a right. Hasim, over there by the afik tevizin of this induced vomiting, lav urche, that's not normal. This is the normative when you're going out to fix the bones of the child. And therefore, just like feeding and giving to drink to the child, which is not considered fixing the child, it's the normative. What I mean, when you're eating, you're also fixing the person. You're also making him optimum. That's not a problem because that's normative. Here also, fixing the bones is normative. Whereas over there, the induced vomiting is something not normal. And therefore, that would be considered a way of fixing the person. And that's why that's usher. And here it's going to be mutter. So Amar Rav Sheshes says, Mano Aminala, where do I know it from? I'll prove to you that, no, to the contrary, that it's mutter to fix the bones of Shabbos. It's not because you learned in the Mishnah, which was our Mishnah. Machet shol yad litl ba'asakoyz, that a hand needle you're allowed to take out a splinter. Now you see that although that's fixing the person, because at least since it's not refu, it's not healing, and therefore it wouldn't apply to the problem of grinding herbs because it's not a refu, so, and still we say that it's mutter to do. Because although it's fixing the person, you're getting splinters out of him, and it's mutter, so that's going to be the same as fixing the bones of the child that's born. But Rav Nachman will say, no, that's not a riot. Because hasam pocket there, it's deposited. And that is, the splinter is not attached to the person, it's just deposited inside his skin. And taking it out is not fixing the person, it's just taking something extraneous out of him. However, over here, hacha loy pocket. Here, regarding the bones, it's not just deposited in him. Rather, it's compared to a real malacha when you're organizing and fixing all his bones in the place where it's attached to him. That, you're fixing the actual person. That is considered fixing. That's usher. But regarding the case of a mishnah, you're allowed to take a splinter. That's not considered fixing the person. You're just taking something out of the machinery that doesn't belong there. And it's not fixing intrinsic component of the person. And that's why each one had their raya. But the other one said it's not a real raya that would contradict my opinion regarding this fixing the bones of the child. So now we continue with the next mission again, discussing the theme of this perek regarding the halachas of muktzah. Kanishal zeisim, regarding a cane that's used for olives. And that is, after they would gather all the olives, they would put into this vat, and the oil would gather over there. It would just sit, and it would make it easier to take out the oil from the olives. And there was a certain cane they would use to turn it around. They would check to see if it reached the level of they're going to be able to really squeeze out the juice of it. So regarding this cane, im yesh kesher b'reish, if there's a knot at the end of the cane, then mekabel tumah, then the cane is mekabel tumah. And then we say it's considered a vessel because it's thick over there at the edge a little bit where the knot is. So then it's mekabel tumah. The Gemara is going to explain how this is. Vimlav, however, if it's not, doesn't have a knot over there, then it's not considered, it doesn't have the status of a kli. So therefore, ein mekabel tumah, then that cane will not be mekabel tumah. However, although there's a difference between tumah, if it has the knot or not, but benkech and benkech nit b'shabbos, either way, whether it has the knot or not, this cane is something that's able to be moved on Shabbos. So now the Gemara asks, regarding that we said, if it's going to be mekabel tumah, if it has the knot, so Gemara asks, amai, why is it that if it has a knot at the edge of this cane, that it's going to be mutter to move it? And that is, although even if you're saying that the knot does give it the status of a kli, but pshut de kli etzu, ultimately it's a flat wooden vessel. And that is because even if it has a hollow, that hollow is not meant as a receptacle to have things put inside of it. And therefore, since it has only status of a kli that it has is as a flat, it's not meant as a receptacle, which means it's the opposite of that. It's like a flat wooden kli. Upshud de kli etz ein mekabel tumah. We know that flat wooden vessels, which is what this cane is made out of, is not mekabel tumah. My time, and what is that? Why do we say that a pshud de kli etz, a flat board, so to speak, or something that's not meant as a receptacle, it's not mekabel tumah? Because dumi desak binan. The pasuk puts in the pasuk when it says the items that are mekabel tumah, it equates them all to what it says in the pasuk, to a sackcloth. Now, a sackcloth is something that's meant as a receptacle, so we compare all the items and we say that if it wants to be mekabel tumah, it has to be like a sackcloth, that it has a receptacle. Now here, there is no purpose in this cane of having things inside of it. It's not there to accept things. And therefore, although you tell me the knot at the end makes it a kli, but it's still a kli of that's flat, not to accept things. And therefore, why is it mekabel tumah? That the Gemara says, Tanu v'shmei d'Rabbi Nechemya, know that the knot, it has a receptacle over there, which thereby makes it a kli that's mekabel tumah, and it's not pshut de kli etz. And that is b'shoshim hapach b'zeisim, at the time when you turn around the olives with this stick, with this cane, ha'iv chayvarai, but you turn it around and you look at the other end of the stick, of the cane, to see by the hollow of the knot over there, where there's a small crevice there. And through the, because of the knots that it sticks out over there, you see the oil that's dripping from the olives, and you can check over there to see if it's time to really squeeze it out. And that's the receptacle from the hole of the knot. Now, if it doesn't have the knot, and therefore you cannot see any oil over there to see because there's no knot and it's only a hollow, so therefore it's not meant as a receptacle, and therefore that's like pshut de kli etz. And that's why we said there's going to be that difference if it has the knot or not. If it doesn't have the knot, it's not going to be mekabel tumah. However, our Mishnah said that either way you can move it on Shabbos because it's still a kli that could be used for something permitted of turning around the olives, and therefore it's not going to be muktzah on Shabbos. The only difference will be regarding the halachas of tumah and tahar. We continue with the next Mishnah again regarding the halachas of muktzah. Rabbi Yosi Omer, kol hakel mitom. Every vessel could be moved on Shabbos and not muktzah. Chutz of two kelim min hamesagol, except for a large saw, and that's a type of saw that's meant to chop down beans. The yeser shemachresha and the peg of the plowing. And that is, this peg is out of the plow machine. It's a large vessel that's made like a knife that sticks out, and that's what actually makes the ditches. That there, the person's very particular, and he designates a special place for this yeser shemachresha, for this knife, which is very important and very integral for the plowing. And therefore, it's not fit for any other malacha. So therefore, our Mishnah says that these two items, which are very delicate and very important, they are two items that are not included in the permission of moving kelim, and they will be muktzah. So our Gemara says many different items that are similar to these two of the, like for example, the yeser shemachresha, this knife that's the one that sticks out of the plow that does the plowing, that they're going to be considered muktzah, as the Gemara says. Amram Nachman, hi uchle de katsi. The laundress uchle, which is a type of a copper vessel that's made like a sifter, like a sieve that has many holes, and it's from the laundress that they put on top of the garments, and they filter the water through that thing that has holes, and then it goes into the garments, and that's how they clean it. Another pshat Rashi says is that they use it with what's called mugmer, which is the spices that they put underneath the clothing, and the incense comes through the holes, and that's how it makes this aromatic smell to the garments. Either way, regarding this laundress uchla, it has kiyeset shemachresha dami, it has the halacha, like this knife of the plow, which, again, people, they're very particular about it, and therefore has the halacha of muktzah. Amar Abaye, similarly, charva de ushkepi, regarding the knife of a tanner, the sakina de shkavta, and the knife that's used in the butcher house, which the butchers use to chop up the pieces of meat, the chatzina de nagri, and the carpenter's adzi, all these items, kiyeset shemachresha dami, they all have the halacha, like the knife of the plow, and that is because all these things, they're very particular about it. That is because if it gets a nick in it, it's going to ruin it, and therefore they totally, as actively, go ahead and are makta it, they put it aside, they don't want anyone getting near it, and therefore, under all circumstances, these things are going to be considered muktzah. So now the Gemara goes to the source of how this happened, the halacha of muktzah. Turn Rabban, learn the braisa. Originally they said only three vessels are going to be permitted to be moved on Shabbos and not no other kelim. And the Gemara later is going to tell us that this was in the days of Nehemiah ben Chachalia, who it was in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, where they made it, that's when then they made the Gzeira on moving Kalim. That it's going to be Muktzah, that means you can't touch it, you can't move it, to make like a wall, a preventative measure, to say more chumris regarding the halachas of Shabbos, because people are very lax, very lenient regarding the halachas of Shabbos, so that's when they instituted Muktzah. We're going to disallow certain things of being moved to make a greater awareness and a consciousness of the halachas of Shabbos. So they said only three could be moved. What are they? Maktzua shel devela, that is the type of a knife material that's used to cut the pressed figs. The zuam alisterin shel gedera, and the foam scooper of a pot, which is, it was a large spoon that they would use to take off the foam that would gather on top of a pot. And the third one was v'sakin kitana shagav shulchan, and a small knife on the table that they use to cut bread and meat and all other food items, where these things are constantly used. Those are the only three that were permitted to use. All other vessels, muktzah, you can't touch them. However, then the Gemara says, hitiru, then they permitted a little bit more. When they saw people started being more careful with the Isurim of Shabbos, they saw that we can't do anything, and they started having an awareness of what it is, then they started making it more lenient. And then they went and they were even more lenient when they saw people started being more careful with the halachas of Shabbos. And then, ultimately they were even more lenient. And the Gemara later is going to explain what are all these levels. It's three times they were lenient, then they were lenient even more, then they were lenient even more. What were these progressions in the leniencies of the original chumrah that they made of the halacha of muktzah? So after that, three times, until ultimately they said, yes, we're going back. All vessels are permitted to be moved on Shabbos. And they said everything is permitted, chutz min maser hagadol v'yesed shel machresh, except for a large saw and the knife for the plow, which are the two cases of our Mishnah, which we said that although kol hakel nitalin, that originally we said everything is aser, but then progressively we were more lenient, until we said everything is mutter, except for these two cases, which again we said people are very particular about, and therefore it's always going to be considered muktzah. So the Gemara asks now, Mahi tiru, v'chazri tiru, v'chazri tiru, what were these three stages of they were lenient, then they went back and they were more lenient, and then they went back and they were even more lenient? What were these progressive stages? Amabai. First stage was, hitiru davash amalachta lehat l'tzarech gufa. First they permitted an item that was generally used for a permitted purpose, not any Shabbos, a process that would be us to do on Shabbos, that item could be used for its own purpose. And that is, they said that you're allowed to move something that its main purpose was during the weekday for something that's permitted to do on Shabbos, to use it on Shabbos for something that's permitted to do on Shabbos. And that is, they permitted you to move it for its tzarech gufa, for the purpose of the item itself. And that is, if you need to use it, the actual kli, but not just to move it, you know, because of the space that's taking up. So let's take something that's permitted during the week, let's say a shtender, right? So that's something that has a permitted use. You wouldn't have a problem of using it on Shabbos. So that's a kli shemalachti leheter. So although we said originally you can't move anything, but on Shabbos we said that this shtender, you can move it if you want to use it for its own purpose, not just for the place that it takes up. That you still can't move it. So let's say you have a chair that the shtender is on, you have to leave it on. However, if you want to use it because you want to put a safer on it, you want to use it, that was the first thing we were lenient. Then the second level of progression was, then an item that is generally used for a permitted purpose could be moved even for the space that it takes up. And that is these items that we originally said that they're mutter only to letzerech gufa, like the shtender. Then we said not only for using it itself, but even for the space that it takes up. And then the third final heter that they did was v'chazer v'tiru, davish malach t'lisa. Then they went to even permit an item that's generally used for a prohibited purpose. For example, a hammer that's used of a blacksmith, which is for something that's prohibited to do on Shabbos. Such an item, they said, letzerech gufa in letzerech mekayim eloy, that even that can be moved. If you want to use it for its own purpose, for example, to break open nuts, which is a permitted activity on Shabbos, but to use the hammer, but not, we still didn't allow it if you're moving the hammer of that's a kli shemalach leiser only for the space that's taking up. And therefore, we had to tell you that on Shabbos, if it's being used for permitted activity, that's permitted. However, if you're only doing it for its place, that's still going to be prohibited. However, still we said that whatever we permitted was only if it's something that can be moved with one hand, but if it's so big that it needs two hands to move it, that's still going to be muktzah. Until finally they said, every vessel can be moved on Shabbos. Even something that takes two hands to move. And that is every keli that we mentioned besides the two of our Mishnah, which was the large saw that and the knife that comes out of the plow, that there they didn't permit it, not letzarech gufoy and not letzarech mekamei. That is the opinion of Abaya regarding the three and fourth stage to permit all vessels besides the two of our Mishnah. So Amalei Rav Mechti says, I don't understand. Hitiru ketani. It says that in the Braisa, how it happened was that they permitted in the first time. Now, Malitzerch Guf and Malitzerch Mekamei, what is the difference regarding a permitted item, a Klisha Malachta Lehetta, which is like, for example, a Shtender? Now, what would it make a difference if you're moving it to use the Shtender itself or for the place that it's taking up? Now, both of them are considered Litzerch. So, if we're permitting Litzerch, so then we should permit both. If we're not permitting Litzerch, so why should we allow Tzerch Gufa more than Tzerch Mekamei? He didn't understand that there should be a difference between needing it for the item itself or needing it for the place that it's taking up. If you can move it, Litzerch, so you can move it either way. If you can't, you can't. Say Elam Rabba, rather Rabba says a different progression. The first time was Hitiru Davish Malachta Lehetta. The first they permitted you to move a permitted item that's generally used for permitted purposes. Bein Litzerch Gufa or Bein Litzerch Mekamei. Whether to use the Shtender itself, or whether to use it because of the place that it's taking up, you can move it so that you could use the chair that it's on. Then the second stage was then they permitted even to move it from the sun to the shade, and that is that it has no tzarech whatsoever currently right now, not for the item itself and not for the place that it's taking up, just that you're concerned about it, that it shouldn't, let's say, get ruined in the sun or anywhere where it might get damaged or stolen. Even that was the second stage. It said you could even move it in such a situation. The Chazr V'tir, and then the third stage was, they permitted Davash HaMalachti L'Isr, that even an item that's prohibited, L'Tzarech Gufoy U'L'Tzarech Mekamei in, that is, since he doesn't differentiate, if it's L'Tzarech, they permitted a Klish HaMalachti L'Isr, whether for the hammer, if you want to use it to break open the nuts, which is L'Tzarech Gufoy, or even L'Tzarech Mekamei, because it's on the chair that you want to use, even that was permitted. However, Mecham L'Tzil Loi, however, that far we didn't go with a Klish HaMalachti L'Isr, although with Klish HaMalachti L'Hetra on the second stage, they permitted moving it just even if it has no purpose whatsoever, just so it shouldn't get ruined, you could move it. But a Klisha Machla is like this hammer that's generally used for the blacksmith. If you want to use it, Litzarech Gufoy, to break open the nuts, or Litzarech Mekamei, if the place is taking up, that we permitted. But just to take it from the sun to the shade that it shouldn't get ruined, that we didn't let. However, and the fourth stage is Vadain Ba'odim Echer in Bishnei Menei Odim Loi. However, still we said that if it takes one person, that could be moved, but it would take two people, that would be very big, that would still be Mukta. Atcha Amru, until they said, that was the last heter that they gave, that Kol HaKelim, every vessel, even the large ones, Nitalim B'Shabbos, Afil B'Shnei Odim, can be taken by two people, even it can be taken on Shabbos, even if it takes two people. However, as we established, that, however, a Klishal Heter can be even from the sun to the shade. But regarding a Klishal Issa, that's where he says that Litzarech Gufoy or Mekamei, but not like Abai, where he says that a Klishal Malachta L'Issa was only Litzarech Gufoy and not Litzarech Mekamei. Because this that he said in different stages, he says there is a differentiation between Litzarech Gufoy and Litzarech Mekamei. However, Rav was saying that no, that the Klishal Malachta L'Issa we permitted even, not only Litzarech Gufoy, but even Litzarech Mekamei, just not Mecham L'Itzel. On this, the Gemara asks, Eitzer Abai. Abai asks, according to your opinion, Rav, I'll ask from you from the following halacha. Meducha, regarding a mortar, we said, im yesh bashum, if it has garlic inside of it, then metal noise, then we can move the mortar. Vimlav im metal noise, if it doesn't have garlic inside of it, then you can't move it. Now, so Abai is basically telling Rav, said, according to me, it's understandable why you can't move the mortar, which is a klisha menachla issa, generally it's used for a prohibited activity of teich and of grinding inside of it, because it's talking about litzarech mekamei, that you want the space that it's taking up. That I learned that klisha menachla issa was never permitted, it was only litzarech gufoy that we ultimately permitted. But according to you, why can't you move the mortar? You're allowed to move it, whether litzarech gufoy or litzarech mekamei. What would be a situation that you can't move it? And that he says, no, Hachmaiskin and Mecham Latzel is talking about from the sun to the shade, where even Rava agreed that that's us, or that we never permitted by Klisha Menachta L'Issa. It's talking about you just want to protect it. That is also us, by Klisha Menachta L'Issa. Another similar question, Esve, Abaya asked, that we learned regarding the machlokes between Misham and Bishil, but Bishavin, they both agree regarding the pestle, Shem Kotzav Alav Basar Sh'asal Tadli, that once you chop meat on it, although there's a machlokes of initially allowed to, but once you did chop meat on it on Yom Tiv, which is for Tzarech Yom Tiv, but now it's going to be usher to move it. Now, why is it usher to move it? It's a Klisha Nachla Issa, so you should be able to move it not only Tzarech Gufay, but even Tzarech Mekamei, even for the place it's taking up. So Rashi Gemara gives a similar answer. And I'm going to tell you, we're talking about from the sun to the shade, where even Rava agrees that we never permitted for Kli Shemalach Deila Issa. Now the Gemara discusses the actual history of how this happened, of why they instituted Muktzah, which was what we mentioned, that we said that originally they prohibited everything, and then progressively they permitted more and more, up until the two cases of our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Amr b'chanina, b'mei Nechemya ben Chachalya nishnas Mishnah zu, that it was in the days of Nechemya, the son of Chachalya, that this Mishnah that we mentioned before, which originally we said that only three vessels were permitted to be used and no other vessels, was in the days of Nechemya when they were disgracing and being mezalzel in Shabbos. That's like it says a pasuk in Nechemya, by Yamim Ha'hema Re'isa B'Yehuda Derchim Gises B'Shabbos, that in those days I saw in Judea that there were those who were stepping in the wine presses on Shabbos, Umavin HaRemis, they were bringing the bundles, and that is, we're doing malachas on Shabbos, totally disregarding the halachas of Shabbos. And therefore, they made these gezeiros of Muktzah, which when these people started becoming more nizer, then they were more and more lenient up until the standards of today. Now, regarding this, that there were stages of that they prohibited everything, then they more progressively more lenient. So related to this, the Gemara says, Amr Belaza, Kanan, regarding the tubes, umaklis and the sticks, gluster and the knob, umeducha and the mortar, which all these four are different mishnayos, as the Gemara is going to explain. Kulan koid mataras kem nishna. All these four mishnayos were taught before the final of the heter that we mentioned, which ultimately we said that everything is able to be moved according to Abaya, at least letzerech gufay, and according to Rava, even letzerech mekayma, even if it's a klisha malach leiser. All these four mishnayos that said that they're prohibited to be moved was before the final, meaning that was when they were still prohibiting either everything or at least a lot before we were ultimately more lenient, as the Gemara explains. Kanan, regarding the tubes, ditnan, as we learned in the Mishnah in Menachos, which is related to the Marachis under the Lechem HaPanim, which was on the Shulchan in the Mishkan and in the Beis HaMikdash, that they had the bread that was baked there, that was the 12 loaves that they had from week to week, and they would take it out on Shabbos and put the new one on Shabbos for the next week, for the next Kanan that are coming on the next Shabbos. So there were tubes that would be separate from, there were two piles of six, and if the breads would hang one on the other, it would make it moldy, it wouldn't have ear to get through. So there would be these poles that would separate between the breads. So it says in the Mishnah Menachos, Lois Sidur HaKanan, not the organizing and setting up of the tubes, which they would put, again, in the organization of the lechem upon them, between each challah to separate them, to let the ear come there so that it shouldn't get moldy, neither the organizing it, v'loy nitilas, neither the taking away of the poles from the old loaves of bread, doiches the Shabbos, neither one is doiches, pushes away the halachas and the isurim of Shabbos. Rather, what they used to do was, they used to go on Friday, on Erev Shabbos, take away the poles, because there was no way to get the bread out, which was very tight in between the poles, without taking out the poles. So therefore, but they had to take away the bread on Shabbos. So what they did was, on Friday they would take away the tubes. Then tomorrow on Shabbos they would take away the old 12 loaves of bread. Then they would put in the new 12 loaves of bread without any tubes there. And then on Matzah Shabbos, then they would go in and stick in the new tubes between the six loaves of bread on the two sedarim. And so the Gemara is saying, Rabbi is saying that this Isra of moving the tubes on Shabbos was taught before the first heter, when they had originally said everything is aser. Because in this case of the tubes, they're klisha malachti leheter. There's nothing prohibited being done with it. It's just holding up bread. Why can't you move these sticks? It's a kli that's generally done for a permitted activity. And still we said you can't move it, even letzerech gufan, even for the purpose of doing something with the sticks, to take out the bread with it. So we had a klisha malachti leheter, and you couldn't even use letzerech gufay. That was even before the first heter they did. That was when they made the first blanket issa. Nothing. You can't move anything besides these three vessels. And that's why that was awesome. But ultimately, of course, you can move it because it's a klisha malach leheter and it's letzerech gufay. So you'd be able to move it. It's just because it was before we had progressively become more lenient. Similarly, maklis, regarding the case of the stick, did not like learn the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim. That says makleis dakin chalakin hayisham, that they were thin and smooth sticks that were there in the azara, in the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash, when Pesach fell out when the 14th of Nisan, which was Erev Pesach, fell out on a weekday, which was when they used to shecht and do all the avodis regarding the Karban Pesach. Umanicha akaseifay v'akesav chaver, and you put this stick on your shoulder and in your friend's shoulder. V'toylamash, and you hang the animal from there, and you skin it that way by holding it on each other's shoulders on the stick that's on both of them. Reb Lezer says, Arba asr shchalis b'Shabbos. If the 14th of Nisan, when they bring the carbon Pesach, if that falls out on a Shabbos, then manich we continue at the top of kaf chav dalam and alv. You put yodoy al kesef chaver, put your hand on your friend's shoulder. V'yad chaver al kaseifoy, and he puts his friend puts his hand on his shoulder, and because you can't move the sticks on Shabbos, but toyla mafsha, in that way you hang it and you skin it. That is something that was taught before the permissions, because the stick is a kli shemalachtoi that would be able to be moved letzarech gufoi for using it for the purpose, and therefore this that we said it's prohibited was obviously before they made the permissions more lenient. Glusta, regarding the case of the knob, what's this talking about? The knob, like we learned in the Mishnah, nagar sheyesh bereisha glusta, regarding a bolt that has on the top of it has a knob. And that is Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Shua says regarding this knob, which the top of it is very thick, and you can use it for a purpose. You can use it to grind garlic with it, to smash garlic, or to obviously close a door. Now, Rabbi Shua Aimer, Shrimta mina pesach zeh, betoil b'chavei b'shabbos. You drag this from one door, this knob, and that way you could bring it to the other door that you want to put it on. And that is, although this knob is considered, you're using it letzarech gufoy, you want to use it to put on another door, and to close it that way, but still we say you could only pull it by dragging on the floor, but moving it directly with your hands, that is aser, even though it's a klisha malachti lehetter, because it's something that has permitted use. You could use it to bang in, the garlic, or you could use it to open and close a door, and still we didn't allow it letzarech gufoy. So obviously this was before we said that a klisha malachti lehetter could be moved letzarech gufoy, before even the first heter of when we had just a blanket iser. Tarfa Noyme says, Nahareku Kolakim, it says it's like all vessels, and you could carry it in the courtyard. So that's that machlekes. And Maducha, regarding the mortar that we said you can't move it, if it doesn't have garlic in, is Hada Amar, and that's like we said before. And that is, although the Rashi tells us, although Rava had answered before that, yeah, the reason why you can't move it is from the sun to the shade, or Abai answered because it's told about a case of Tzarech Mekame, they're all Deichik to Ritzim. It's more smooth, it's more fluid to say that it was before the heter of the Kalim that we said, and that's why we said all these four Mishnayis that are there also, but ultimately, when the final result of where we ended up with Allah Samukta, all these four would be permitted to be moved, because they are included in what we ultimately were more lenient. It's just that some of them were said at different times before the other Hatayim progressively were instituted, and that's why in some cases we said it's even was usher to move a klisha malachti leheter, even a tzarech gufay, but that was only because they were said before the heter.